If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This week in PlayStation, we're talking about remakes. PlayStation shifting course when it comes to PC, and we're going to build our own PlayStation rewards program. We'll have all this and more because this is PSI Love You XOXO. Welcome to the show, everybody. That's Blessing. That's Janet. I'm Greg. And you can get this show on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. There you can watch us record it live, get it ad-free, and get 38 bonus episodes of content a month. If you have no bucks to toss our way, you can write in and be on the show for free on kindoffunny.com/PSILY. And you can support us over on the Epic Game Store, Fortnite, Rocket League, and Rumbleverse with the creator code kindoffunny. You can get PSI Love You XOXO for free. Every week, without it. Well, you got the ads. You don't get any of the other cool stuff we do. You couldn't get your name read if you're just watching for free. But, of course, you can get it all on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, Rooster Teeth, and podcast services around the globe. Thank you to our Patreon producers, id_Raven, Fargo Brady on YouTube, Delaney Twining, James Hastings, Casey Andrew. Today, we're brought to you by NZXT Canvas Gaming Monitors and Chime. But let's start the show with a PSN message from you! Janet, can you believe Blessing's wearing a Valentine's Day sweater in October?
He has skulls on it.
It's literally from HalloweenCostumes.com, first of all. But yes, it does have skulls on it.
Fun.com. That's
fun.com. I mean, it's the same website. I think they wrapped to the same thing. But also, like, you know, they got skulls, you got hearts. Guess what? I love Halloween. I love Halloween. Halloween's my Valentine's Day date, even not in the Valentine's season.
If you would have just stopped, you would have such a strong ending to it. But you just kept going. Here's what I will say is that, of course, Janet, you and me can agree on many things. But at the top of the list, Blessing is always looking fly. He's always looking good. Aww. But this combo of the sweater with the chain, a very good look.
Thank you. Thank you. You're welcome. I appreciate it. This is my first time actually wearing this sweater. It's been sitting in my closet since Valentine's Day because they sent me this during Valentine's and I was like, oh, this is fucking awesome. I never wore it during Valentine's. And so when I put it on today, I was like, oh, you know what? I like this sweater. I actually like the look of it. And then I looked to the right and I saw my chain just sitting on desk that I have over here. And I was like, oh yeah, no, that's the choice.
That'll pull it together.
Yeah, it all pulls together.
That. I appreciate
I can put
that.
On a watch too if I want to go above and beyond.
Is it the gold chain and the gold watch from the Luba Fiasco concert?
I should do the gold watch. This is the gold chain from the Luba Fiasco concert, and okay. This is the gold watch.
I was jealous because I wore my gold watch, but I did not have a gold chain. So,
Greg, this is a reference to the Luba Fiasco song "Gold Watch," which in the hook he raps about how he has his gold watch and his gold chain and his fancy car and his diamond rings, and what else, Janet? Okay.
Oh my gosh. Well, I thought of the second one. And so
you shouldn't
I feel
say
like,
the next part.
Yeah, I'm like, like, which version? They're all like not that appropriate for the show. But yeah, anyway, we can talk about
here's what I need to know. All right. And then everybody, I know you love PlayStation. You're here for that. But you also love a good Let's Teach Greg music. This Luba Fiasco fella, I thought he was a big deal. But then I made a comment about something, Blessing, and you were like, oh man, there's only gonna be like 10 people at this show. You made it sound like he's not popular. So what's the deal? Is Luba Fiasco popular or not popular?
He's no Kendrick Lamar, Greg.
Luba Fiasco, not that popular.
He's popular, he's not popular. He was popular. Like, he was hot back in 06, 07. And it's not even that he's fallen off. It's just the fact that, like, you know, rappers age and they get older. Yeah. And so he's kind of a, this hurts my heart to say out loud.
A legend? You about to say he's a legend?
No, I was going to say he's a legacy artist. Oh, he's kind of a legacy artist.
Like a more past generation at this point, which is weird to
say.
And he still puts out fantastic music.
Going to the show, it's like nothing but like old millennials there. It's like everyone there 100%. Was like 30 years old.
Yeah.
It was fun. But yeah, it's just, you know, he's not at like a bigger venue. You can tell how the popularity of an artist based on the kind of venue they got. And you know, I forgot exactly even the venue I saw in LA, but it was like a venue I wasn't familiar with near the Microsoft Theater, but not at the Microsoft Theater. That's for sure.
It's was
like
it the Grammys thing? The Grammys got a thing over there, their museum.
No, it was, I'd have to look it up, Axis. But it was a much smaller venue.
For context, Ray, for Greg, for the Bay Area, I think he was playing at the Warfield, right, Bless?
He was at the Warfield, okay. Yeah. And it's a stark contrast from a few weeks earlier. I went to the Kendrick Lamar concert a few weeks earlier, and that was, I believe, at the Oakland Arena. Is that what it's called? Yeah, the big arena in Oakland, which like sits many people. Like that is a huge, huge venue. And the Warfield, it's a big venue, right? But it is like that's a Lupe Fiasco venue, right? That is, you know, a few thousand people coming through and all jamming out and all of us being in our late 20s to 30s and having a good time versus Kendrick Lamar, where, you know, Baby Keem's opening for him and I was sitting behind a bunch of high schoolers and like one of their dads was there chaperoning them and they're just having the time of their life, like rapping along to Baby Keem. They were getting more hyped to Baby Keem than they were to Kendrick, which I was like, oh wow, I didn't know that now I'm this old that Baby Keem is now becoming the big artist for the kids. But yeah, no, like Lupe Fiasco, he's that artist, but he's still an artist that we love. Right? Like, think of your favorite 2000s artist that isn't around anymore, but if they were to do a concert today, you would attend it. But it'd be more of an intimate show.
A concert of their older stuff. So, like, it was Luis Fiasco's anniversary of The Cool. So, it was like back when he was kind of, I feel like, at or near or around the pinnacle of popularity. Yes.
His 2007 album, front to back. Album or 2008 album.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Anyway, and that we went separately in our respective cities. But like, yeah, it's always me experience. Yeah, two ships passing in the night kind of moment for me and Bless. So,
wow, Greg got, he just wow, hated Greg that Greg conversation. It wasn't about Taylor Swift, so he just checked out of that. Yep.
Yeah.
It's okay to feel left out, Greg.
It's weird that Greg wasn't. I learned about Lupe Fiasco and I left
the call. That's all I had. That's all
it's funny because before the show, I was like, what if we just talk about music the whole show? And Greg decided to talk about music to start the show, which I appreciate.
You know what? I like to show interest in your guys' interest. I understand it's not easy being my friend. Instead. You got to hear about Avengers. I keep willing Ghostbusters shit into existence. I understand this sucks for y'all. So, I'm here. You like this Lupe fella? Tell me one.
Can you believe that game comes out this month? Spirits Unleashed?
Yes.
And, like, I guess you can believe it because I'm sure you're counting down the days to it.
I refresh my inbox every 5 minutes, blessing, looking for a fucking code for Ghostbusters Spirits Unleashed. Yeah.
And I keep forgetting that it's coming out this month, but I know that once it comes out, it's all I'm going to hear about and probably play for that week that it's out. Maybe so, months, judging by Predator.
We have a PSN message. It's about remasters and remakes and all that stuff. Right. Fuck it, we're gonna talk about the Horizon thing. I can bring Tommy, your question will be read. We'll put it down there, of course, write it for free, everybody. kindoffunny.com/psily. I'll ignore your questions like I'm doing to Tommy, but what I want to take this instead here, since we're having a nice little thought, oh thanks for moving it for me, Buzz, we're having thought exercise here, and this is obviously, you know that I love Illphonic games. Obviously, I love Friday the 13th. I enjoyed Predator quite a bit, obviously. You know that I'm in Spirits Unleashed, and you know that I'm a huge Ghostbusters fan. So clearly, like, I'm obsessed with this Ghostbusters game. What do you legitimately think this game is going to do? Is this going to, and I don't mean, like, how many sales is it going to get? No, you know, who the fuck knows? But is it going to move the needle at all? Because remember, for Illphonic, Friday the 13th, they were a small developer. They had Friday the 13th. That hit. It was huge. The servers melted down, but everybody's playing and having fun. Predator came and we're skewed on it, I think, is the kind of funny community, because we did so many streams for it, because we enjoyed it, number one, and we did sponsorships with them. But more than anything, we enjoyed it, and Nick enjoyed Predator, and I enjoy those kind of games. So it's kind of like this perfect storm of being able to play a first-person shooter with Andy in an IP that Nick loved in a kind of game I loved or whatever. But it still felt like that. Don't get me wrong, it wasn't, you know, this juggernaut that you did a million units and da-da-da-da, but it still seemed like people cared about that and you heard about it. Ghostbusters Spirits Unleashed, as a Ghostbusters fanatic, I am so excited for it. When I tweet about it, I am greeted with people being like, I can't fucking wait to play, yada, yada, yada. But of course, I'm Greg, so I'm attracting Ghostbusters fans. Is this going to be more popular than Predator and Friday the 13th, less popular than one of them or the other one? Janet, you're thinking, Blessing, you're thinking, I need expert opinion that isn't me, that isn't in the fucking Ghostbusters popular, tank.
But can you remind me the pitch of this game?
Sure, the idea is that it's asymmetrical multiplayer if you want it to be. This is their first game that has single player. Okay. You can play the whole thing single player. But it's four Ghostbusters versus one ghost.
Oh man, it's like because it's in that same vein. I'm gonna say less popular because I don't think the IP has the power of the other previous IPs.
Sure,
don't say that.
Like in terms of wider reach.
No, no, please. I want.
If Greg is anything, he's self-aware of Greg has never lied and been like Marvel's Avengers is perfect. He's like, there's a lot of problems, and I like it. I'm here. I'm hanging out, and this is who I am.
I'm hanging out.
So yeah, he's just there. You know, he's having fun, and we are there, right? Like that's the situation. 100%. So I feel like less popular, but I do wonder if it'll like really have a bit of a boom just because of the season that's coming out at, because it is that Halloween time.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's enough to carry it like that. Like I feel like Ghostbusters ain't hot in the streets like that. Like people don't want to.
I would toss out the ghost. That I think is an interesting comparison, or not even comparison, but in the realm of comparison, is that remember, Evil Dead did really well at launch too, and I in terms of an IP, I would think Evil Dead is less than Ghostbusters. Like there's more Ghostbuster fan
and
than
even like Evil Dead. Predator as well, right?
That's where it gets weird. And like I think Predator, I think let's take away even the IP of just being Predator. I think Predator got away. It can be more exciting and get your friends into it if they don't give a shit about Predator because it's a first person shooter and you're a monster. Okay, that makes sense. Mm. Whereas like Ghostbusters, sure, it's quote unquote first person shooting, but it's a proton pack. You're running around with an Neutrona wand, right? Like it's not like you have to, it's not like you're just shooting, which makes sense in some games. And then Friday the 13th was part of that, you know, whole, that was an asymmetrical multiplayer game that hit at a time when those weren't a dime a dozen. Yeah, there was Dead by Daylight. I'm not trying to take anything away from them, but it was, here is Jason in that game. Again, Dead by Daylight now has every horror IP under the sun in it. At the time, it did not have nearly that many.
Now, Greg, you might remember, was Predator Hunting Grounds, was that on PS Plus or on any free?
No, it was PlayStation published, but so it was PC and PlayStation to launch.
Gotcha. I see Ghostbusters Spirits Unleashed is going to cost $40 at launch. I ask because like I think that might be the barrier entry for a lot of people, is that like for this game that's coming out, that it's for like a well-known IP, but I imagine it's going to be more of what we've had from Illphonic in terms of, oh yeah, like asymmetric multiplayer. It's kind of a niche thing, right? It's going to speak to a group of people, but not necessarily to everybody. I think the $40 buy-in might be enough to like not give it the oomph it needs for a player base to easily come in and just have a good time with it.
To jump in, I want you to keep going. I'm shocked that it's not on Game Pass or PlayStation Plus, or they didn't do any kind of deal for a, like you're saying, asymmetrical multiplayer that you're going to play with friends. I thought, oh, it's a no-brainer. They'll sign a deal.
Yeah, and the place where I'm at with it is I think this is going to do better than Predator Hunting Grounds, because did Predator Hunting Grounds even do good? I know we played it, we did sponsor,
and that's
stuff.
What I started with, where I feel like it's skewed, where we enjoyed
like
it so much.
Streets. Like people were talking about it, people were playing it. Did they say what like, they played was good? That's not what we are here to talk about.
My question is, were we those people? Is it just because we're in that bubble of people that were playing it, or were other people playing it? Because I don't think I personally did not hear many other people talk about that game that weren't us. And we had a good time with it, but like a lot of me having a good time with it was the fact that I was playing it with y'all on stream, sure. And we had the memes, and we had the moment where we're running by Nick, who's playing the Predator, and he's just standing there, and we're like, is that Predator? Is that Nick? and like we had those moments that really made it fun. But if I was just judging that game as a product, I'd be like, no, it's not that great. Like it's fine, it's serviceable,
oh,
but
for
it's
sure,
buggy.
If we're giving a review score or something like that,
yeah, like it was a bit buggy, it was a bit janky. The progression was like whatever, you know. It had some fanfare there, or like you know, like fan references and characters you can play as and all that stuff that I think spoke to Nick and probably the people that were more into Predator. But I guess my thing is. Is Ghostbusters going to come out and be more polished and be more refined in gameplay? I expect it to be. I don't know why I expect it to be. Maybe it was the preview you did episodes and episodes ago on PS11.
For sure.
I know I talked to you about it. And I think from what I gleam, it seemed like it might be in a better place than what those games were. And
yeah, again, I mean, take everything I say with a grain of salt, again, as somebody who is in the game and a huge Ghostbusters fan and an Illphonic fan, I guess. But that'll also kind of make me an expert in some ways. yeah, it definitely, in the preview I played of at GDC, ran and looked better than Predator or Friday the 13th ever did. Now, again, that's not a live service environment. That's not a thing. What will it actually pan out to? I don't know.
So I think it's going to do better than Predator. It's definitely going to do better than Arcadageddon. But I think the question is, does it strike like Friday the 13th? Because you guys can correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like Friday the 13th did hit for a lot of people. That is one that I feel like I did hear a lot of people talk about, right, Friday the 13th.
That was a blast to play. People really had fun with that. And that was, you know, myself included, banging the drum for it. And then it got so popular that it crashed the servers, which then meant you were seeing news articles about it, even if it wasn't that game is good or bad. It was, oh, man, the game's so popular, it's broken or whatever.
So that's kind of that's kind of the space where I'm expecting to hit, is maybe in that Friday the 13th place.
Okay. I'd be excited about that. I'm hoping a lot of people play it because I want to be able to jump in and play it. But I also don't want it to be that, like, I don't want it to be that I'm twisting your arm to play it, Bless, or Janet's arm or anybody. And again, like, you know, obviously we're going to do streams of it when it comes out. So I'll be twisting your arm on Kind of Funny content for work. But, like, at the end of the day, like, I know that I have a bunch of Kind of Funny best friends, again, who are tweeting me about it. But again,
like, they don't come to me. The question is, are we going to hit December and hit winter break? And am I going to get a text from Greg that's like, hey, do you want to play Ghostbusters? And am I going to say yes or not? That's the big question. Right, because I will say yes to playing it on stream. I think that'll be fun content. I think that'll be a fun time. Will I say yes after months have passed?
And why the moment are you is asking over? This? But you're you. Like, you know what I mean?
I'm asking future me. I'm asking the me that exists in December. I'm talking
the him that knows what the game is actually like. You know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Will that version of me be like, you know what, Greg? It is winter break, Greg. Yes, I'll play for.
Would
Ghost
you not just do it
you.
To be nice?
No.
Is that not?
And like, no. I mean, all
right, well, you know, unless what? I'm in,
unless I really want to hang out with Greg in that moment, then I'll do it. But like, will I play?
But you know, I would play other games together, right? We'd find something
Destiny.
Else to play. Yeah, of course.
Sackboy,
when are we gonna play Destiny, Greg?
I've been playing. I played, man. You know what I mean?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did. I did like two nights.
Oh, okay,
but you know,
that's something.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. I would go back to it more.
An honest evening's work, you know?
A couple reviews came in, and then I'm looking for, you know, the Ghostbusters codes or the next codes and all that stuff. So it'll be, like, even for what you're saying, though, I will be interested to see if, come December, will I be playing Ghostbusters Spirits Unleashed? Because it is a game that, like, I'm excited to play it, blah, blah, blah. But, like, once I've unlocked everybody or, you know, done all the stuff and, you know, platinumed it or whatever, like, what would bring me back to it? I don't know about DLC for it, so if they're doing it's not a game as a service, they've talked about that, right? So I think, right? So it's, but well, they haven't, it's a shitty game as a service if they haven't talked about it. You know what I mean? So like, if there's like updates and DLC updates, and like new maps or shit like that or new ghosts, then yeah, I'd come back for that, and that's when I would text you. But again, that's gonna be the let's get,
yeah, I guess that's
a couple
the other
nights
thing,
a
right?
week out of it.
Because in my created premise, right, in the during the winter break, I'm not thinking about an update or anything. It's just a random Wednesday where Greg's like, hey, Christmas was yesterday. It's Boxing Day today, and I'm here. I got Ben in my lab. Jen's asleep. Let's play some Ghostbusters. I've had a look at that, and I'm like, all right, sure, let's go. Then that's good. That bodes well. But if
this
it
is
like
a specific
an update
scenario,
I know it is. If there's like an update that is, hey, we're adding the Ghostbusters from the movie before the last movie that you can play as now.
2016, yeah.
Yeah, the 2016 Ghostbusters, and it's gonna be a big thing. I can see myself jumping in for that, right? If it's at the
you
very least,
2016 Ghostbusters.
That was my iteration, yeah. But no, if there's just an update or a reason to jump back in, and I feel like jumping back in, then yeah, I think that is also a success in my eyes for that game, at least for me, for how I tend to play these games.
I'm fascinated. I'm interested to see how it'll actually do, because I think it's just a harder sell. Outside of, hey, do you love Ghostbusters? Yes. Oh, and this seems cool. Great. And then I've never been a Ghostbusters fan. It's going to be hard to look at a game and be like, well, now you can be a Ghostbuster though and chase your friend as a ghost. Be like, well, I don't want to be a Ghostbuster. I'm like, okay, well then the concept's kind of broken. Whereas, do you want to hunt the predator? Do you want to run from Jason? Those are all, I think, a little bit more easy to wrap your head around or not be like super connected to the IP. But we'll see soon enough, ladies and gentlemen, October 18th. Number five though. I read for the first time ever on this show, I read the five that I put on. Let's talk about the topic of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, the day you'd all been waiting for happened this very week here in these United States of America. PlayStation Stars officially launched on our PlayStation apps on all of our cellular phones.
Yeah!
And it is a
what
fucking...
What do you mean, Bless Mode salute the black in different ways?
Horrible goddamn adventure we are on, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't know PlayStation Stars, it, of course, is PlayStation's new loyalty program. Earn rewards and complete campaigns to unlock rare digital collectibles. Join for free. What is PlayStation Stars? I'm reading from PlayStation.com, of course. By joining PlayStation Stars, you can use your gaming skills to collect unique digital collectibles and earn rewards. Complete campaigns, earn points, and show off your collectibles in a digital display case on PlayStation app as a way of celebrating your love of play and PlayStation experiences. This launched you were able to get into it, log into it, and go, and it would crash, and it would shit the bed and do a million things. We go to VGC, where Jordan Midler had the top level. Of course, PlayStation Stars lets players earn rewards by completing a variety of campaigns and activities. It has a four-tier level system in which all players start at level 1 and can work their way up to level 4 by buying games and earning trophies. While the service allows players to earn digital collectibles, Sony has been firm in its assertion that these aren't tradable, nor are they sellable. This appears to be in an effort to differentiate them from NFTs, which have proved controversial in the gaming space. Controversially, the service appears to offer high-tier users priority customer support, which has been received poorly by players in regions where the service has already launched. We've talked about that before in a number of shows of just like, well, that kind of works with every loyalty app, right? Like my United Care, my United.com Mileage Plus, when you hit gold or silver, you get a special number to call that bumps you to the front of the line. PlayStation doing that. Of course, going through doing these campaigns, you earn the collectibles, you also get points that you can then put aside to then one day spend on games. People have been excited about that. That's a good idea, right? And why not spend this on games? Now that it's out, people are doing the math on it, and it's fucking terrible. Derek Strickland at Tweaktown writes, Sony's new PlayStation Stars loyalty program leaves out critical information on how to best earn points, but gamers have discovered specific point ratios. At first glance, the PlayStation Stars program doesn't look great. The landing page shows players will get 50 points for completing a campaign to buy specific games. Some of the games, like NBA 2K23, are $69.99. Others, like Inscription, are $19.99. Sony says that PlayStation Plus subscribers will automatically earn PlayStation Star points for purchases made on the PlayStation Store, but it doesn't tell you how much. Gamers have discovered the ratio. Sony will reward 10 PlayStation Star points for every $1 that PlayStation Plus subscribers spend on games. So, if you buy NBA 2K23 for $74 after tax, you'll earn 740 points, plus the 50 points from completing the campaign objective. It still takes a lot to actually redeem a free game. Right now, gamers can trade in PlayStation Star points for 5 games at the following rates. And I cut some of them, but The Quarry, which of course is a $70 game, is 17,500 points. Sekiro, which is a PlayStation 4 game for $60, is 15,000 points. Hades, which is $25, is 6,250 points. These ratios are still high. Gamers have to spend $1,750 to unlock a single $70 game, for instance. That's about 24 full-price games. These, and that this, so that you stick with it because the article's still going, Derek's giving you a lot of information. These are just rank one ratios. It's assumed that gamers will earn more PlayStation Star points as they rank up. You can level up your rank by buying games. The higher your rank, the more rewards and campaigns you unlock. Microsoft's reward program isn't much better in specific regards. Microsoft gives more rewards per dollar spent, 20 points per $1, but conversely doesn't offer free games. Instead, you unlock gift cards. A $50 Microsoft gift card costs 50,000 points, which would require $2,500 spent. The good news is that there's plenty of ways to earn Microsoft reward points, like taking quizzes, polls, and doing quests/objectives on Game Pass, which PlayStation, of course, at the moment for PlayStation Stars does not have. It is about doing these things. But all that aside, if you wanted to go through and you wanted to unlock these collectibles, you get them and put them up on a digital shelf. Barrett, go ahead and show the B-roll here of my Twitter. And just look at my PlayStation 3 stacked up there next to a T-Rex, stacked up next to a Stargazer. We put this out. It is god-awful and
looks
ugly.
Looks great. I love it.
It's all icy.
Doesn't look photoshopped whatsoever.
It looks like really bad Photoshop is the thing. Like, at least add some shadows. I don't know.
Definitely doesn't look fake.
Janet, I have not heard your hot take on PlayStation Stars. I assume you opted in. You jumped out there. Maybe you could. I mean, again, day morning of, I got in. Then day of, when I was trying to do more, it just kept crashing. So I don't know if you were able to get anything. Where are you at with PlayStation Stars?
I am disappointed, but not surprised, because I feel like there it goes on the app. I got in all right, actually. I think I just got lucky and I went a few hours after and was able to just like log in, go to the app. It appeared right there, level one, starting off at the base that everyone starts off at. So I'm not shocked, but I am disappointed. I feel like there's not just quite enough to do. I think, yeah, there you go, the digital PS3. What we've all been waiting for.
It's so cool.
Spin around. It's just the ratios aren't great. I think it's a little convoluted, at least the way they kind of sort of presented to you with, oh, well, you'll kind of get extra points because of this, you getting this specific game, and then you also get like the points on the purchases. Again, if we compare it to other services, it's not completely egregious. It is a bit worse than though, like Nintendo's, which is 5% basically back for every digital purchase and 1% on physical purchases for like how many coins you earn. And again, same idea, you can use those coins to then buy games. But I was just kind of surprised, given the fact they are going with this more app-based, app-ready format, that there wasn't more to do. I think that was my number one disappointment. Again, we already kind of knew what this pitch was, so I wasn't expecting like my dream of them doing the Nintendo thing where it's like they have the platinum point equivalent, you can get like stupid merch garbage like in real life. I knew they weren't doing that, so that is what it is. That would be a dream, but they're not doing that. With what they're doing, I was really hoping they'd have a more diverse spread of things you can do. And they mentioned, you know, the higher you go up in level, you'll get different stuff. There's a pitch online that says, as you like continue playing, you'll unlock custom campaigns designed around the games you like to play. I think that has some potential. But out the gate, I was looking to do, I don't know, simple stuff that like could maybe earn me some points. Like, can if you're, you know, Twitter account's connected, which mine is, or something like that, or sure, just like an easy daily check-in kind of thing would have been cool. I just wanted to see a little bit more, I guess, gamification of it. I know not everyone's looking for like, I don't know, a daily grind. Like I was talking to Isaiah about it. He's like, why do you want to grind for these points? Like, that's so dumb. I'm like, because I'm a gamer. What are you talking about? Everything we do is dumb. It doesn't mean anything. I'm like, yeah, I want to be able to have this be a fun kind of layer and flavor to what it's like to play on PlayStation, as silly as that may seem. But, you know, trophies are just as arbitrarily little digital things. Like, I think there is fun to be had in systems like that, and I feel like this was a real missed opportunity to sort of, you know, add an extra bit of flavor to what it's like to experience a game on PlayStation versus somewhere else. And I feel like they didn't really accomplish that with this initial launch. But
and it comes back to, of course, you know, this is, you know, them initially launching. You hope PlayStation Stars evolves into a reward program we want. But a lot of people wrote in the exact same stuff you're talking about, Janet, right? Emmett Watkins Jr. wrote in to kindoffunny.com/PSILY, just like you can for free, and said, honestly, they should just copy Microsoft Rewards as closely as possible. Give weekly quests attached to earning trophies, using PlayStation features, checking out games, and using PlayStation Plus. Give bonus points for maintaining streaks of quest completion over multiple weeks. Introduce special quests for new releases and hardware, and give points for every PSN purchase made, not just specific games. The main issue with PlayStation Stars is that it takes way too long and takes too much money to earn enough coins to use on the PlayStation Store, and the digital rewards are useless since they're self-contained to just the Stars section of the PlayStation app. Microsoft Rewards work because it ties all of the parts of the ecosystem together. What's happening? What's happening right now? I thought it was just in my ear, and then Janet started reacting to it, too.
Yeah, that was weird.
I think Bless's headphones came out, so then it was playing off of the speaker for a second.
Oh, sorry, are you guys hearing the echo? It did the thing where it muted again, it wouldn't let me unmute, and so I had to like unplug and replug, and then it came out my speaker. My bad.
Emma goes on, Microsoft Rewards points can be used to get more than just Xbox games and Game Pass subscriptions. They can be used on any Xbox PC hardware sold in the Microsoft Store, and more importantly, they can be used to buy gift cards at other retailers. I don't know how hard it would be for Sony to expand their Stars offering to keep up with these features, but I think they have to, or they'll be laughed out of the conversation when it comes to reward systems. Stars would be a fine service, but for all the attention given to it, it's disappointing to see how minimal of a service it really is compared to the competition. Which is all incredibly well said, right, Blessing?
Yeah. I think there's nothing in this pitch for what PlayStation Stars is that strikes me as inspired and not sterile, right? Like, I feel like they're speaking to us more as consumers as opposed to people who play video games on their platform. Sure. I think the comparisons to what you're seeing on Xbox and what you're seeing on Switch are apt in terms of the Switch keeps it simple, right? The Switch doesn't really do much in terms of its rewards program. It really is like, they have the coins. I know there's like stuff that you can, like accessories and stuff that you can get with the points. But like, I'm in there because, yo, yeah, I want to get a percentage back on all these digital purchases that I make, and I want to be able to get discounts on upcoming games with that stuff, right? That stuff is fun. I like that. But for what they're doing here with PlayStation Stars in terms of the rewards, in terms of the JPEGs that they give you on a shelf that you don't care about, like there's so much you can do that I think will speak to us on that gamer level, right? I think Janet, what Janet described sounds perfect in terms of yeah, give me daily objectives to do, right? Like, give me stuff to achieve. Make it so that, hey, if you're playing God of War, if you kill 30 enemies today, you get this reward. You get 10 cents or whatever the fuck it is, right? Like, give me alternative ways to earn points and have those things be fun and have those things be engaging.
And that's when it becomes forgivable that it's 10 cents or whatever, right? If it is, well, it's a minimal reward, but there's plenty of them to do. And I know every day I get 3 more quests, or every week I get a certain amount to go through and do. I think you can get around it. And I think they didn't earn themselves any goodwill. And I know this is a damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of situation of starting this rewards program now, not out of the blue, but just on, you know, on a random October day. And then it's been this, I've seen a lot of people upset that previous trophies they've gotten don't count towards this. Previous purchases don't count to this. So there is like one of the campaigns that is, you know, to get the 50 coins, you have to buy, you know, NBA 2K23, Saints Row 5, the TMNT collection, Last of Us Part 1, Inscription, Madden NFL 23. And from what I understand, at least on launch day, right, the people who had already bought Last of Us Part 1 don't have that counted because you can't, they didn't buy it when the campaign was running, but they can't go back and have the thing ping it and notice that it already owns it and shit like that.
That sucks. That's a terrible way to do it.
And I feel like that was in, you know, so much of this, of course, is your first impression. And I think so many of the first impressions on this were that sucks. That this is just like, okay, it's a free thing we opted into, of course, whatever. Like, you know, and maybe in 6 months from now when campaigns are dropping for buy new games and they are games that aren't out yet or you haven't bought, sure. But for right now, it's just such an underwhelming, lukewarm presentation that is like, you know, they had such a, I would say, terrible showing in that state of play when they were like, here's some of the digital collectibles you'll get. And we're all like, this looks dumb. And it didn't drop in and it didn't drive home the fact that this would be a way to get stuff for free or to earn points to do these kind of things to make it worth it. Again, to have it come out now, it's just like, what? I don't see this being something I turn on and go for. Now, granted, of course, we're in a different position because we're getting games for review. So we're not, you know, buying. And if I was on the outside and I was trying to min-max how to get games for free, maybe it'd be a different conversation. But then I think I'd be even more upset that there aren't daily challenges, that there aren't trophy challenges, that there aren't this.
Like, the main way to do it is to like spend $1,750 on a video game, or that's probably the wrong number, but like spend somewhere around that for video game. Oh no, I think I got it right. Get 17,500 points is the thing, right? For like each $60, each $70 purchase, buy enough games so you can get one free, right? You can get a discount. And yeah, like if there are varied ways to go about it, I think that would help out a lot. And if those ways were things that felt worthwhile, right? Things that felt engaging, things that felt fun, I think that would go a long way about it. But yeah, I think the entire PlayStation Stars launch has been, it's been rough just in the sense that, not even that it's not working, but just in the sense that it's so unexciting. And it just feels like bloat on the platform in a way that, oh man, I open up the app and the logo's there and I'm not going to use this thing, right? It's another thing for me to ignore on the PlayStation platform, which I don't think works in PlayStation's favor necessarily. And it's also that weird thing of like, you know, was it yesterday or the day before where it launched? And it reminds me of the meme of like the two things shaking hands, and it is Overwatch 2's launch not working, and now PlayStation Stars launch not working, right? They're like shaking hands in the middle. But at the very least, Blizzard got DDoS. Like, PlayStation just couldn't launch this thing. Nobody really cares about PlayStation Stars enough to give it a DDoS attack. They just couldn't get that thing off the ground. But I don't know, Greg, like, could we do it better, Greg? Like, does PSLW have the facilities to figure out what a better
PlayStation, I think we can build a better, like, PlayStation program? Yeah, don't you, Janet?
Sure, at least from a conceptual standpoint and the technological aspects.
Oh, sure. No, we don't have to do it. Well, Isaiah built stuff.
We can get Isaiah in here.
Isaiah's in the chat right now. He said, buy 24, get one free. Bold promo to run. I know. Now I'm like, I can't talk smack as freely because I'm being watched. You know, the call
code
ruins the
mouse. This is a big moment. This is a big moment for Isaiah. I've added him as a moderator. He's not a moderator.
Should I unmoderate him and time him out?
That's on you. That's on you, Baird. If you do that, I can't stop you. I can't do anything. The one thing I do want to call out, so like, there, I would not say we talked earlier, you said, right, that it's built for, it's generic and or vanilla, and it's built for like consumers and not gamers, right? Mm-hmm. There is a little glimmer of hope of something I think is cool. And it's I don't know how much you've gone through it, but the Hit Play 1994 one. You seen this?
Yeah. Can you explain what this, I'll be honest, when I looked at this, I didn't know what I was looking at here. Can you break down what you're seeing and what this represents?
So if you haven't opened up your app, or maybe you're over in London, oi, governor, it's coming out of the 13th, I believe, in there, but next week, either way. You open it up and you have all your campaigns there, right? And so then, yeah. You click on PlayStation Store picks, right? Grab your next favorite game, buy one of these games from the PlayStation Store, and then has the games on there to buy or whatever that you could buy, right, for the reward. So then there's one on here that's for Hit Play 1994. It'll unlock the Sony Cord Machine as your digital collectible. But then the description, right, is just launch the game matching a circa 1994 song. And so this one is like, actually, and granted, you can immediately Google it if you want and get your answers right there. But this one is, all right, Stay, Cross Circle of Life, Baby I Love Your Way by Go West, Mr. Jones by Regulate, More Human Than Human, Wild Nights, Streets of Philadelphia. It's a riddle. So you have to go, what game would I launch to unlock Streets of Philadelphia? So you have to start sitting and go, okay, well, what would this be and what would that be? And you have to run it through your head or whatever, figure out. There's one game, though, they've assigned to each one of these songs that they are saying, hey, this would match it and you should go do it to go find it. And I kind of like that. I think it's very, it's not explained at all here, where if you're
that was my confusion with it, where I was like, and again, I was looking at this all like in my kitchen. I'm like, Isaiah, what am I looking at here? Like, what is this? But I agree with you. If minus the unclear and vague description of just like launch a game matching the circa 1994 song, which makes sense if you already know what they're trying to get at, but doesn't if you don't. I think that is an opportunity to create a level of like charm and personality within the service. I do think only having one, is there really only one game associated with each? Because I feel like that is
I found on the internet when I Googled, because I was like,
are you about to give the answers? Because now I'm invested. What game takes place in Philadelphia? What am I missing in my brain right now?
Here's what I'll give you.
Streets of Rage? Where's Streets of Rage take place at?
What I like about this too, and I'm reading off GameRant.com.
Do you think about Philadelphia that you think Streets of Rage takes place there? You think they're just fighting on the streets?
Here's what I like about this.
Is that a Fresh Prince thing? You've formed your entire opinion of Philadelphia based on the Fresh Prince theme, the original intro. Will Smith.
It's a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. I don't know. You're the quiz master, Bless. What are the answers here?
Let me give you a little bit of nudge, even though it won't really help you because you haven't memorized them. This is from GameRank.com, where the answer, as I read, are. Fortunately, starting all of these games shouldn't be too much of a hassle, for those are all part of PlayStation Plus Extra Tier. They're all available to download, which I think is pretty neat that they're like, you know, not just making you go buy another game or whatever. Even I guess technically they're making you buy PlayStation Plus if you want it, but whatever.
Streets of Rage takes place in Wood Oak City.
I think we could sit here for the next 3 hours. You would not guess what the game for Philadelphia is. Yeah.
No way. That seems so
I am one of the few defenders. I am one of the few defenders of this game on this show, and I would never be able to tell you that Marvel's this happened Avengers. In Philadelphia.
Ghostbusters.
I appreciate that, but no, that's not what it is. Fuck you, Ghostbusters. I'm not defending yet. I don't need to defend Ghostbusters.
More human than human.
The month is young.
More Human Than Human, I guess, spoilers for PlayStation Stars, if you give a fuck, is Detroit Become Human, right?
Right. That's what I was thinking.
Okay.
Okay, good.
What if I told you you're on the right track with that for Streets of Philadelphia?
Is it some other Heavy Rain?
Is it Iron Man VR?
Heavy Rain. Answer, which I do not remember being in Philadelphia, but there you go.
Okay.
I would have assumed it was Seattle.
Also, are these just like the name is similar or the theme?
They have Stay, Cross Circle of Life, Baby I Love Your Way, Cross Go West. And I think it's an either or. I would guess. Again, it's not that super explained.
Baby, but I think of Stay and Circle every day. I want to be with you night and day. What does that mean for PlayStation Extra Tier?
Ooh, baby, I love your way.
Circle of Life.
Is there a game? Get copyright strike. It's too good.
Sorry, is there a game where you turn into different animals? I feel like there's a lot of
that one.
Where,
what's the one that you like kill a bunch of animals? Tokyo Jungle.
Nah, it's not that. It's not that.
Okay. Let's see.
I would say for Circle of Life, don't get so hung up on that. Stay. What PlayStation game do you think of when you think of Stay?
Stray?
No, I appreciate you guys doing it that way. That's fine.
Good job.
Again, like these are, I'm not shitting on it. It's a fun idea. I think it needs to be noodled a bit, but it also kind of totally is like when I tried to do the Bless Who game, but it was, you had to be in my head of like what stay would be. And like,
there's forward to that twisted episode. I'm like going through the backlog now.
But here's what, let me give you one more for stay circle of life. All right. Mm-hmm. Don't think of stay as like somebody beckoning you to stay, but more like stay, you can't leave no matter what happens, even if you died.
Undertale. Is it 12 minutes or 13? What Eternal? The fuck is it? 12 minutes.
Returnal is right, Janet.
Oh,
circle. Okay. Yeah. You know what? PlayStation Star is fantastic. I take
for
it back.
For Baby, I Love Your Way, drop that and think more of Go West, literally.
Weird West?
West of Dead.
I appreciate it, but
Red
no.
Dead Redemption 2.
No. What if West. You needed to connect the United States of America?
Oh,
Death Stranding.
Like
oh baby go. I see
oh baby yeah that's kind of cute these are kind of cute
I kind of like right. these I, yeah.
we could all have right. had this without this dumb program I'm just saying.
Well I do think though there's something to again you can Google the answers so it's like there's that but I think again the gamification of a service like this is what it would be awesome if they had more of that because even outside the points like let's be real you know I hate to be the bearer of bad news. You're not revolutionizing your budget with these deals on any platform, but they can be nice. And I think if you're going, especially for cheap games, you can feel that benefit. Like that's what I've used like my Nintendo points for. I don't go out there and try to buy Mario plus Rabbids. I'm buying like Zubufu 2, and I didn't know there was a Zubufu 1. You know, like that's what I'm. You know, it was $3 on sale for 2. I got 12 points. Like that's how I personally use it. So I think just making it something that's fun to get. And I guess it's kind of a little bit of their logic with like, oh, so you'll, if you don't care about the $1 you save every 3 years, you can like have this digital collectible. But I think the fact that they didn't make that more like PlayStation homified and made it something that was a little bit more engaging is where they sort of fumbled the bag. Again, good ideas, bad execution, classic.
We're brought in, we're told to fix it, and we're already going through a bunch of different things. The first thing I would do is like, all right, cool. The display case and these non-NFT NFTs or whatever you want to call them, these terrible BMPs, that's all fucking deleted. We're ripping that out because that looks ridiculous and that's stupid. The campaigns themselves are fun and can be/should be fun, right? Mm-hmm. Buy one of these games or whatever it is to get the extra points. Of course, that sounds great. This little riddle thing, I would explain a bit better, but I would do it and have it, give you X number of coins. Because again, the argument here, especially when you're talking about PlayStation Plus, right, is that, oh, well, it's a reward for being a PlayStation Plus member. And then guess what? It is going to boost the PlayStation Plus downloads. If everybody goes in and downloads Returnal, Death Stranding, Uncharted, Detroit, Until Dawn, and Heavy Rain. If you go through and get all these and do it just to play them, then great. That's benefiting PlayStation there while giving you something to do. And back to Janet's point is I would have them be at least weekly, if not daily. That'd be better. Because right now you got 25 days left on the store picks, 25 days left on the Warriors Challenge, which is right up your alley, Bless.
Yeah, I was just looking through that. And like even with that one, the World Warriors Challenge, right? The whole thing with that is just trying to honor fighting games. And you have like, what? You said it was 30 days for it?
Yeah, or 25 days left. 25.
You have 25 days left for it, and the objectives are basically, I assume, boot up Street Fighter V, boot up Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, boot up Mortal Kombat 11, and boot up Tekken 7. I wish they were boot up Street Fighter V and play as Blanka, boot up Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom and run through the arcade mode, boot up Mortal Kombat 11 and like you know do the Scorpion get over here. I think stuff like that would again, make these challenges a little bit more engaging and make us interact with the games in a deeper way as opposed to me going to a thing, pressing a button, and then clicking close just so I can complete the campaign.
Yeah.
I do like the idea of them being, like, thinking of things that they, like, did well that maybe they could draw out further. The idea of it being from that shared library of... Now, I don't think it needs to be in its entirety, and obviously they're going to want you to buy, right, Last of Us Remake and Horizon 8 or whatever, Horizon Remake... whatever they put out, they're going to want you to like engage with
that. We'll get to that one in a second.
Yeah. So I don't mind them having that element of it, but I do think there's a lot to be earned from getting us to engage with stuff that we already have access to. If you are a PlayStation Plus super tier, whatever the hell the tier is called, member.
Premium.
And I think, yes. PlayStation Plus, of course, who could forget. Something too, as far as like the trivia-y stuff, I wish they had, and I get like, you have to, I don't actually get you need to do on the app because at the end of the day, you have to launch the games on your console. I wish they had a little bit of this more visible on desktop because if like on browser proper, because if they did and they did daily quizzes or things, I could totally see someone streaming that. And like, I see people play Wordle on freaking Twitch. So it's like, or fake Wordle where they have it infinitely spawning in different quizzes. That would be such a fun thing to do with like a chat and try to figure it out and test which game it is and then all of that. So yeah, that's where I think they could also amplify the visibility and the fun of having it. Like if this was just a bunch of like different PlayStation trivia stuff, I think also too lowering, if they want to keep the digital stupid shelf thing, I could even live with that. If they made it more like you got them for, which they kind of give you like one for free, I think, for setting it up. If they just more gave them to you, I think having to like buy this fake ugly thing is like not appealing. But if you just handed it to me, I wouldn't mind that as much as having it gated by spend your coins to get this fake PlayStation 3.
For me, the whole thing just, it reminds me a lot of the Vita, where they just put in stuff, and like you're talking about, Blessed, it's too general consumer and not PlayStation gamer focused enough, where I think, again, we like the stupid quiz. We like the idea of guessing what these things are. They're a little ambiguous, but we like that idea of it, or playing a specific game or getting a specific trophy or doing something like that. I think that'd be a fun way to point people more than, should still do the buy a game thing. You should get rewarded for that. But I hate these collectibles. I think they look dumb. I think they're a waste of resources for people to go in and make stuff for them that they will never look at. That's not what it's about. Whereas if it was the daily check-in at PlayStation quiz or whatever, yeah. Let alone if you could expand that out to what you were talking about, Janet, where it's like, all right, cool. Everybody wants, you know, we're talking here about the fact that, all right, cool, we're giving you free money in quotes, even if it's 40 cents, but you're using PlayStation Plus, which is number one pro. Number two pro, of course, is downloading the stuff to bump up those numbers. Another easy one, like you were talking about, Janet, is getting the coins or the star coins, right? If you link your YouTube, if you link your Twitter, if you do the thing, and then of course it becomes all the mass marketing multimedia thing of like, well, now if you tweet with this hashtag or your new challenge is to go in and play whatever game you want and use this create button to put up a tweet about it and blah, 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 blah. And then you get into an interesting one of like, if they were using YouTube videos and then it was, you're going to go watch a YouTube video and you leave a comment, and since it's linked, it goes doubles out. Like, it's all goofy shit that could make it feel more like, oh man, well, I'm already doing this stuff. I'm already watching the trailer on, you know, the PlayStation channel. I'm already going through and wanting to play this game and get the trophy. Why not get it rewarded that way? I feel like they put fat on it and they've been promoting the fat rather than what could be the core idea. That's great.
Exactly. And I think a lot of it comes back to, in the ways that we complain about having a PlayStation that feels like it lacks personality and it lacks like actual humanity, PlayStation Stars kind of encompasses that in a way that works as very much a detriment, to where it's like, okay, cool, PlayStation Stars is just not exciting, right? Like, I don't think any of us look at it and we're like, yeah, let's go, like, what is it, right? And I don't think it needs to be that way. And I think that's a lot of what where we're coming from is the fact that there are so many things you can do to make it feel poppy, right? Things you can make it do to actually make it feel exciting. The me and Tim talking about on KHD weeks ago about like, yo, bring back PlayStation Home. Could you imagine a PlayStation Stars that is, hey, you have a PlayStation Home or an apartment or whatever the fuck, that is three rooms. You have your bedroom, which is where you get like your collectible stuff. You can hang it. You can hang your God of War poster that you got from doing a God of War challenge. You can put here your Ratchet plushie that you got from doing the Ratchet thing.
I also don't want whatever this is leading to.
Talking about it.
That's one room, right?
I would walk into this fake room, yes.
That is like your main bedroom. You have another room that is your trophy room. You walk in and guess what? You get to like walk through trophy cases and prioritize like, hey, this is the game I'm most proud of. I'm going to make this one the prioritized trophy case that's in the front of the room and have that level of interaction with it, right? I think like that sounds, at least to me, sounds like something that could be enjoyable, right? Going to Greg's house and walking through his trophy room and seeing a bunch of bullshit there.
My garbage.
That is
again,
garbage,
dorky,
right?
Shit, but then when PSVR 2 drops, boom, you can virtually like pick up people's trophies and like turn them around and shit.
Yeah, anyway, like that. That's and just that what type I want. Of that type of gimmicky bullshit is stuff. That's the kind of stuff
you're
that could be
me
fun.
It's not fun. Yeah,
and like
exactly.
And like and I think the third room would be, hey, here's the stats room, right? You walk in and like, you know, most rooms, I guess, don't most houses don't have a stats room.
I but love my stats room in my house right now.
It's my torture chamber.
maybe it could be more of like a stats board that's also in your bedroom that you go to and you see like the games you play and like the time played and like, you know, the more.
But like you're
organized trophy list,
you're
like
complicating
that, type of
that already even more, where it's like, just let me do that period PlayStation. Let me go to PlayStation.com/user/GameOverGreggy and see all that stuff already
on
that you
profile,
have, because the marketing email will eventually tell me at the end of the year how many hours I played or whatever, but it's not accessible anywhere else. That's the kind of shit I want to drill into.
They do have that in the profile of like, hey, this is how many hours you played this
right, it's like the little thing on
but even in the past Greg has mentioned like being able to show, you know, your most proud platinum on your profile. Yeah, like even
yeah,
that little
pin
bit
stuff
would go.
To it. Yeah,
and like I would, I just love the profile. Idea as well. Like you're talking about, like this virtual space that you can walk around in for people like you, Bless, who like to hide their trophies. Like you go up to the door and it's just like locked.
Has a padlock.
You can't go in.
Yeah, you just like fucking kind of bang down the door.
On the subject of trophies, Vince Patel wrote in on what he'd want to see in this here revamped PlayStation trophy system or reward system from PlayStation. I love your PS. I love you. I'd love to see trophies in Sony first party titles mean something. Have them as a metric to trigger discounts, credits, or tokens for how people are rewarded. I don't need digital collectibles when I just collected all of them in Astro's Playroom. Great point about Astro's Playroom, and then great point about the trophies, because obviously I've seen so many people want trophies incentivized as part of the system, but you have people like me that ruin the system, and they that get the easy ones. And I know that for one of the collectibles, I forget which one of their campaigns or that they've mentioned, it's going to be ultra rare trophies like doing it. The better way to do it would be to Vitz's point of like, okay, cool. You can't control what everybody's doing, but you can control what the first party or PlayStation Studios right. games are, right, doing it. So why not go through and, yeah, have trophies there that do trigger certain things? That'd be an awesome idea. We can do this, everybody. And I hope PlayStation does. That's the thing. Like we've made a lot of fun of the system and whatever. There's good ideas there. I just feel like it needs to have the fat cut off of it and really have it refined to be a thing. And I don't know. I don't believe they will do that based on how they've had their reward systems before and they've killed them.
Yeah.
Yeah. This will probably just die in like before the PS6 comes out. And like, they're like, they're just resetting for PlayStation. But I think there is potential there. I think too, if they did really want to go a more digital route, because again, you know, the I guess money of it all of like, it isn't, I mean, it costs them the labor and the time to make whatever the digital thing is. But after that, it's just like, kind of evergreen. I think something simple like let me have desktop and phone wallpapers and just give me a wallpaper. Right?
The fact that you can't have themes now, everybody shouted out themes that they would want if they bring it back. Yeah, that'd be a great one. I like Danny Berg. He wrote in to kindoffunny.com/PSILY and says physical rewards. Give me some exclusive console plates or controllers, maybe. Controllers, not a chance in hell, but the plates is a really interesting idea.
Give me a fake gold plate to put on the side of the console.
Yeah, something stupid or like, you know, even if they do it for like, hey, it's a reward for being, well, I guess this isn't a the PlayStation rewards anymore, but if it, they could, I'd love to see them do that of like, you're one of the first 0.1% people to platinum God of War Ragnarok, and we made 10 of these very special limited things. We'll send them out and stuff. That could be really neat. I digress. What I think is really neat, of course, is patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can go over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to get this show early. You can watch us record it live, just like Bander SN, Yo Call Me Rob, and my dog Nick96 are watching live. You could write in, and of course, you can get 38 monthly bonus episodes over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. But guess what? You're not on Patreon. So here's a word from our sponsor.
Shout out to NZXT Canvas Gaming Monitors. We are huge fans of NZXT here at Kinda Funny. And I gotta say, these monitors, they're Andy Cortez approved, Kevin Coelho approved, and Tim Gettys approved because of their sweet 1440p resolution with 165 hertz refresh rate and 1 millisecond response hits. That sweet spot for gamers due to the balance of picture and performance. And now available in a 1080p 240 hertz version for the most competitive of gaming situations. They're available in 27-inch and 32-inch curved displays, variable refresh rate support for all of the major GPUs. You can get the monitor just alone, you can get it with a stand, or you can get it with some pretty cool mounts. There's built-in software support with NZXT Cam that lets you control all your monitor settings directly on your PC. No need to mess with the clunky hardware menus to lock in your desired settings. They thought of it all. It's sold exclusively on NZXT.com. You can learn more about the NZXT FHD Canvas Gaming Monitors at NZXT.co/KFGFHD. That's NZXT.co/KFGFHD. Shout out to Chime for sponsoring this episode. What's the first thing you do when you wake up? Is it checking up on your credit score? I don't think so. At Chime, that's exactly what they do. With their secured Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card, you can start to build credit with your own money. All of this with no annual fees, large security deposits, or credit checks to apply. You can start your credit journey with Chime. Sign up takes only 2 minutes and doesn't affect your credit score. You can get started at chime.com/kfgames. That's chime.com/kfgames. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by Stride Bank NA pursuant to a license from Visa. US USA Chime checking account and $200 qualifying direct deposit required to apply for the secured Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card. Regular on-time payment history can have a positive impact on your credit score. Impact to score may vary, and some user scores may not improve. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal fees may apply, except at MoneyPass ATMs in a 7-Eleven or any Allpoint or Visa Plus Alliance ATM. Get your credit journey started with Chime. Sign up takes only 2 minutes, doesn't affect your credit score. Get started at chime.com/KFGames.
Blessing, what happened this week in PlayStation?
Greg, there's a big PlayStation shift incoming, right? And it's one that we've been talking about for a while, right? It is the PlayStation live service slash PC gaming shift. We've gotten some progress on it this week. I got a couple of stories that fit within this one story, starting off with how players can now link their PlayStation Network and Steam accounts. I'm pulling from Jordan Midler at Video Games Chronicle. Players can now link their PlayStation Network and Steam accounts. The first game that allows players to do this is Marvel Spider-Man, which today received a patch which added this feature. A new registration page on the PlayStation website, which allows players to make the connection between their accounts, is also now live. Quote, link your Steam account to PlayStation Network to receive unlocks in this and other PlayStation Studios games, the web page reads. Quote, you will also receive the latest news, updates, and offers from PlayStation Studios games on PC or PlayStation platforms. Register by creating a Sony account for PlayStation Network or by signing in with your existing Sony account and password, end quote. That is the first half of the story. The second half is about how PlayStation games will wait at least a year before their PC release, except for live service titles. This again comes from Jordan Midler at Video Games Chronicle. PlayStation Studios head Herman Holst thinks Sony's future console games will have to wait at least a year before coming to PC, aside from live service titles. Speaking to Julian Chies, Holst outlined the future of Sony's dual platform release strategy. Quote, I think going forward, we'll see at least a year between releases on PlayStation and on the PC platform, possibly with the exception of live service games, Holst said. Quote, live service games are a little bit different in nature because you want to have a strong community, strong engagement right away, right when you go live. So we might, in the case of our live service offerings, go day and date with PC and the PlayStation platform, end quote. What I want from you guys is a temperature check of where we're at with the whole PlayStation live service future slash the PlayStation PC present slash future. Janet Garcia, I want to start with you.
PlayStation is going to turn into a PC. It's going to be one giant tower. But anyway, not actually. But I'm a little surprised that they did this, just because I think still their North Star is selling you whatever shaped PlayStation box that they're selling. And this is like another layer to making it like you could just play it on PC. I will say, though, that really only applies if you care a lot about Platinums, which obviously some people do. Like, I think we care about like getting trophies and Platinums and things like that. But not every player.
Yeah, we do, Janet.
Not every player feels that way, where they're like, oh, yeah, the only thing that was keeping me on PlayStation was earning those trophies. Like, you like it enough to want the trophies, but not enough to still be mostly playing on PlayStation. Like, I don't think that really is as big of a concern. I think this does start to, like, not beg the question, but I feel like now more than ever, I can see a future where they one day do a day and date that isn't just a live service. And that's what I'm kind of most curious about from this. Ultimately, I think, though, for, you know, PlayStation fans and just players in general, this is definitely a win, because I feel like that was kind of an L to me that it didn't have the ability to play and get trophies, because I'm like, for me, I'm like, well, what's the point of going all in on just this new, another version of Spider-Man? I've already played Spider-Man. If I want to get the trophies, I have to do that on my console anyway. So I think for people like me that were maybe more hesitant on checking stuff out on PC, it makes it more of a one-to-one experience in terms of feeling like you're still part of that PlayStation ecosystem. So if anything,
to be clear, they're not giving out trophies yet, are they? They're not giving out trophies yet on Spider-Man. Okay, cool. I was about to fucking go download Spider-Man on PC if you fucking tell me.
But I do think this is the first step to them.
Oh, 100%, and that's brilliant. Yeah. They should totally
also,
do that.
They
that
should
is a
make this.
Move.
This should be one of the quests this week on the freaking stars. Connect your PlayStation Network and Steam accounts. That should be.
And it'll give you 25 cents.
My thing about it is, I think you can only do it through the games, though.
The Steam Circle or something. I don't know.
I think you can only do it through the games, because even off of Jordan's article, he has a hyperlink. A new registration page on the PlayStation website allows you to do it. You go and do it, and it's just telling you, do it if you're logging into the game. It's not like there, I can't link my...
No, there was a button there when I went this morning that's like, connect your account, and I clicked it, and nothing happened.
It brought you back to the page, right?
No, like literally nothing happened. Like I was clicking and I'm like, oh, this link is busted.
So off of Jordan's, it goes on VGC, a new registration page also live. I click on that, right? Mm-hmm. And it's stay connected to PlayStation. Link your Steam account to the PlayStation Network to reveal to receive unlocks in this and other PlayStation Studios games. So I'm like, all right, great, continue. And then how to sign into your PSN while playing a game on PC. For certain PlayStation games on PC, you can sign into PSN to track your progress and access bonus accounts. And then there's three hyperlinks. Yeah. Sign into a PSN on PC, unlink from PSN FAQ. Sign into PSN brings me right back to the same page. How to sign into to PSN while playing a game on PC.
Gotcha. Yeah, the site was busted for me this morning because I couldn't get. I would click the link on Jordan's thing. It'll bring you to that landing page to stay connected with PlayStation. I hit continue.
Yeah.
And that shit was not doing anything.
Yeah. How to sign into PSN when playing a PlayStation game on PC? It's like in the game you have to go do it. So we're not there yet where I can do that.
You're telling me a PlayStation website thing that they're trying to get off the ground isn't working in an intuitive way that should be natural, that should be
heartbreaking. But again, like you said, we're getting there, and I think it's a great thing. Like the idea of popping a trophy in a PC version of the PlayStation game, that's awesome for me as a dork. But more importantly, I think the idea that if they are serious about these games as service and they are serious about them actually mattering and competing, they need to be on PC as well, and you need to be able to go back and forth between them. Because I would love to be able to go over there, and if I get into let's just say it's Last of Us factions, I would love the idea that I can play it on my PlayStation, and then if I want to go play it at whatever 1440p and do all this crazy shit, I can.
I think there is a 0% chance that they don't have it be that easy, where it is pick up Last of Us factions on your PlayStation, pick up Last of Us factions on your PC, and your save exists in both.
Oh,
right. You can go back and forth.
It's really tough, Wes. There's a lot of complicated things in the back.
If they're not able to nail that.
I'm doing the joke where they were like, cross-play is impossible. And then, what was it, Fortnite, where they were like, we just kind of turned
but
on a button.
It's just also that thing of, it's PlayStation, and so anything can happen, right? You can have weird PlayStation decisions, though you have weird Nintendo decisions. But I think that this is gearing up for that not to happen, right? I think they start to connect the dots, right? Connect the accounts. Hey, we're going to have a PlayStation launcher. They've not said it, but you got to assume that is what they're working towards. They're going to have a PlayStation launcher, and they're going to make it so that you are taking your save back and forth between PlayStation and the PC version of their live service games, and you're also earning trophies on both, right? Your PlayStation games on
God bless
PC.
God bless.
So you're saying that you can play anywhere.
Yes, I am. Except for Xbox. Let's not get crazy here, all right? I'm just talking about PC and PlayStation. Maybe one day we'll get on a Samsung smart TV from at least 2022 or forward. If everything goes right. Greg busts out his backbone.
I figured if I'm here. Yeah, it's PlayStation backbone.
God, it looks so nice. I want one. I forget. What's the status on the Android backbone?
Wow. Impossible. Why would I care?
That didn't come out then.
Impossible. We don't have the technology yet in our time.
That's true.
And also, this is just tough love. Get an iPhone. You know what I mean?
No.
You have to do it.
What do I look
like? I think you both make some good points.
We're really good at debates here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what we're known for.
What else?
Like, do this. No. Okay. All right. That's fine.
Well, you tried. I tried to turn them around,
Find the good fight.
Also happening in PlayStation this week, a Horizon Zero Dawn PS5 remake/remaster is reportedly in the works alongside a multiplayer game. This is Adam Bankhurst at IGN. A remaster of 2017's Horizon Zero Dawn is reportedly in the works for PS5 alongside a brand new multiplayer game for PS5 and PC. As reported by VGC and MP First, The Last of Us Part 1 remake looks to be soon joined by an updated version of Aloy's first adventure on PS4. The VGC article reports, quote, "The updated version of the 2017 Guerrilla Games title will feature improved visuals to bring it up to par with this year's sequel, Horizon Forbidden West, in the form of new character models, lighting, and animation," it is claimed, end quote. Alongside the news of this remake/remaster, the reports also claim that Guerrilla Games is hard at work on a Horizon multiplayer game for PS5 and PC. Cool. I'm all about this multiplayer game. Where are you at with the Horizon remaster, quote-unquote/remake, quote-unquote situation?
It's kind of awkward because obviously, I don't know, they're just... I don't want to, what's the word? Devalue the work itself, but it really is just this is a way to make money off of a product that is good that not everyone has gotten to, so there will be an audience that will buy it and check it out, And I guess that's good for that audience in the sense that they get a better version of Horizon Zero Dawn. But yeah, it does feel like the classic thing of PlayStation loves remaking these titles, but they've done that for forever. So it's like, I mean, can you really even care anymore that this is a remaster slash remake that we might not need? Because they've done that a bunch of times and will probably continue to do that because it maintains relevance to whatever IP they're trying to push, whether it's a collection or a remaster or a remake or whatever. There's constantly that kind of progression, I think, through the generations where I've played so many games in different versions on different SKUs, whether they're remade or remastered or whatever, or like, oh, now it's a bundle on one disc or whatever. I think we've seen so many iterations of this that it's like, yeah, this is kind of par for the course. I'm personally not gonna pick it up or spend time with it unless for some reason there's something content specific that would be relevant to like what we do here, just because I played it really recently. Maybe if I had played it when it first came out, I'd be a little bit more interested in the revisit, but yeah, that's where I kind of land with this. What about y'all?
Well, I want to bring in a question actually from Tommy Goodale that like kind of ushers us into a general remake conversation in general, because like I think there's a lot to pick apart and there's a lot of like going in circles with the Horizon remake thing, because it's not necessarily all the way confirmed that it's a remake, but based on the write-up, it is going to be, you know, new character models, new animations. They're going to do some work with it. But I do like this question.
But then everybody's going to throw in your face Spider-Man Remastered, right? Which was the same.
Yeah,
idea.
Which wasn't all the way the same. I guess there was a new model.
We don't know, and it's not worth fighting the streets about it right now.
Yeah, we'll find the streets about it when they announce it in the next PlayStation Showcase. That's gonna happen in September. It's October. Yeah. Tommy Goodale writes into patreon.com. It's kind of funny games, just like you can. Or no, not Patreon. Whoa, look at me. Look at the mouth on me. kindoffunny.com/KHD, just like you can. It says, what is a game for you that could be remade over and over again, and you would always revisit every single time? Let's lean into the forbidden juice of remakes here and go crazy.
I already know. I mean, is anyone surprised that my answer is Jak and Daxter? The Precursor Legacy. I have this on PS2. I don't have the PS3 copy on me of the all three games on one disc. And then I have the limited run version of the PS4 physical version. I have the Vita version that I just got somewhere. Oh, here it is. Hold on. I haven't played the Vita version yet. It's allegedly the worst version of the game, and each game gets worse, so I'm excited to check that out. Yeah, I will play this. I mean, this is barely different. Well, actually, funny enough, this is the same. The PS2 and the PS4 one from Limited Run is, I think, the same game because they didn't put the PS3 remaster. It's just a port, right? They didn't do the PS3 remaster as this PS4 SKU. But I buy this game every time, everywhere. I'm a Jak and Daxter super fan, so I will. I mean, I've gone on Dreams and played like versions of this game that people have made on Dreams. So I would just buy anything related to this at this point. But that's just me and my own obsessions. What about y'all? You have anything that you're so gung-ho about?
If tomorrow there was a PlayStation blog that went up that said, hey, we're remaking Shadow of the Colossus again, mm-hmm. I would get chills. I would be like, wow. Yeah, let's fucking go.
Part of the problem?
Listen, only for that game. I'll play Shadow of the Colossus a million times. They can remake it every single year, and I'll play it every single fucking time. Because, mm-hmm. like, I'm broken in that way, right? I fucking love Shadow of Colossus. I played the original. I played the remaster on PS3 multiple times, I want to say. I played the remake on PS4 because it was a fantastic remake. Shout out to Bluepoint. If they made a PS5 director's cut of Shadow of the Colossus, which would be problematic because the director is Ueda, and Ueda didn't work on the remake. But if they did that, I'd be in again. I'd play it again. They could add new animations. They can redo the models again. Shoot, they can add an extra Colossus, so I'll play the hell out of that game. And so that's my answer.
I don't think there is a game. Like, I don't think, I'm just, and we all know that I'm the old game is old guy. I cannot, I hate replaying games, even games I love. And hate is the strong word. But
maybe
I just,
you've never truly loved a game. Have you
maybe that's true, Janet. Wow. Maybe I just love the chase, the thrill. Persevering.
Yeah. Oh, man, who doesn't?
God damn it, Blitz. I butchered the hell out of that one. You did.
But it's, yeah, like, there's nothing on my go-to where I'm like, man, that's what it would be all about. Like Patapon was a nice throwback when they put Patapon back out, and that was a short enough game, but Patapon 2 was a little bit longer. I never even finished it because I got distracted by reviews and everything else, and then I was like, I don't really want to go back.
Too busy looking at that email inbox.
I feel like we get new versions of Tetris every 2 years.
Could they but that's different. Tetris does different things with it when they put it out. You're not just playing this. And like Tetris is a game, is a puzzle game, right? So it's like, I don't know if this is literally true, but it feels like every drop is different. It's not like you're sitting there, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's more like a Wordle than it is like, I hate playing. I play games, you know, for the stories and the excitement and the thrill. And so it's like, when I know what's around the corner, when I know this was my favorite part of a game, or I know my favorite part of the game is 20 hours in, it's like, oof, I don't know if I want to do this again. And so, yeah, I think nothing excites me less than the remakes. Hmm. Even like the one, I guess, like I always toss out, like, I would still love a Infamous, you know, collection or remake or remaster of Infamous 1 and 2. But it's like, even then, I wonder how quickly that would wear off. How far, when did the rose colored glasses fall away? And I'm like, oh man, like, if it's just a remaster and it's just a prettier version, I'm like, would I want to stick it out the whole time?
They call me Blessing Replay Poppy in the streets.
They do call you that in the streets. And I've heard them say it.
There are way too many answers that I could give for this one. I think the answer outside of PlayStation over at Nintendo, Blessing, you know me. It would be DK64. It would be Donkey Kong 64.
Never mind. I take back my boo.
Yeah.
You're right.
Like, if any time they would release that game, I'm there. Will they ever do it again outside of the Wii U? Who the fuck knows?
One I'll throw in for you, Barrett, is Persona 5 Royal. If they remade Persona 5 Royal, I feel like you'd be there.
I mean, they are kind of, they're not remaking it, but we're getting a next gen version later this month.
And are you not playing it?
Probably not. We're in the middle of we're in the middle of review season, man. Like, that's coming the same.
Smell it.
Persona 5 Royal next gen, quote unquote, is coming out the same day as Gotham Knights. Like, I'm playing Gotham Knights, or we've got God of War coming. We've got Mario plus Rabbids, which I'm hyped about. Like, too many games are coming for me to play Persona 5 Royal again for next gen. The true answer, Blessing, Greg, Janet, would be Batman Arkham Asylum / City.
Okay. I can see that.
In the chat, you know, I'm like, I don't know. Bander SN says you wouldn't pick Metal Gear, and that is a great point. I did love Metal Gear Solid Twin Snakes on GameCube. I do scream that I would love more a modern Metal Gear. I would replay Metal Gear Solid if that gets remade or remastered or whatever. But then again, like, how far would I? If they, you know, how many times, no matter how many times they did it, hard to say.
I just, for me, it was with Shadow Colossus. I like it being a game of telephone too, where I'm going to get like 9 or 10 entries in, and it's just a completely different game than what the first one was.
I mean, there's been three versions, right? There's like the original.
The ship of Theseus or whatever WandaVision. God, I was going to say from WandaVision, but I'm sure that I know that that's an actual thing from not
from
WandaVision.
Philosophy.
I digress.
Oh, man. Close Let's enough. Get into PlayStation picks. Of course, this is where we talk about what's coming out this week and the thing that each of us have been playing. Getting to the drop, you're getting just a couple of games. You're getting Dakar Desert Rally for PS5 and PS4, and then Overwatch 2 has come out this week for PS5 and PS4.
Have you been able to play yet?
No. You have here, like, for the drop, right? Like, on the dock, it says, like, the game that each of us have been playing. And I just typed in Overwatch start screen, because that is literally all I've gotten. One day.
Damn.
Greg, what you pick to play?
Redacted, working on a review game that I can't talk about. So instead, I wanted to call out something I called out the other day on Games Daily, but to put it out here again, Uncharted The Hidden Kingdom. This is a fan project, an audio drama where they are telling their own Uncharted story. Of course, this is a fan project. They can't make money off of it. They did these little collector's cases with their CDs and stuff in it and all the information. You can go to Uncharted THK, so that's Uncharted The Hidden Kingdom, Uncharted THK, and you can get the two episodes of it. It's two episodes. They're just shy of an hour, so it's like a 2 hour long thing. Their Sully is fantastic, on the money. Their Nate's great too, but I mean, like, their Sully sounds like Sully or whatever. And it's just a fun little, like, hey, what if we did our own Uncharted? And it's like, yeah, why not? That sounds awesome and super fun.
What if we did this? Like, what IP could we do, like, our
Bless,
own
you can barely
created?
Hold your Obama for 5 seconds.
Listen, I'm not going to perform on it. Let me just write on it. Let me write my own.
Okay,
my own, Jack and Daxter. I've never played Jack and Daxter. Let me write a Ratchet and
what?
Clank.
You should.
Greg is Ratchet.
Can we make Bless play Jack Janice and Daxter Clank. With a studio
We should do
opens?
A re-review of Uncharted. Or I'm sorry, Jesus Christ, of Jack and Daxter.
Sure. I just did the deepest dive earlier this year. I'm always ready to replay this game.
Can I write my Jack and Daxter, like, fan story, and then we record it as an episode of PS Love You, like a special episode?
Oh my gosh.
I feel like that might be one of our highest viewed episodes of the year.
Well, something has to be that. You know what I mean? Why not this?
Uncharted: The Hidden Kingdom is an original two-part audio drama. It's based on the characters from Uncharted video game series. It takes place between 2 and 3, following the established lore of the series. Parts 1 and 2 have a runtime of 35 minutes and 45 minutes, respectively. The adventure is self-contained, so listeners can enjoy it without having played the other games. But we suspect after listening to our story, you want to get to know Nate, Sully, Elena, and Chloe better. What's the plot? When Sully asks Nate for help with a little problem, the implications are far greater than anything either of them could have imagined. Trailed by a delusional psychopath, could ancient clues from Arthurian lore lead to an incredible treasure or their ultimate doom? Join Chloe, Sully, Nate, and Elena as they face a heart-stopping adventure on a forgotten island.
That sounds
I enjoyed
awesome.
It as an Uncharted fan. I like a good audio drama, and it's really well done. So it's made by fans. I think that goes a long way. So check it out, Uncharted: The Hidden Kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
Janet, what about you? What have you been playing?
I just want to shout out that Bless wrote in the doc Overwatch starts green specifically, which is really funny.
Oh, yeah.
Yakuza Like a Dragon, though, I will admit that I am not playing on PlayStation, so I am indeed living in sin with Yakuza Like a Dragon over on Game Pass. But it is, you can play it on PlayStation. I just am not.
Greg
couldn't handle that. Wow. I know. Yeah. God forbid.
Some of the Yakuza games are on PlayStation Plus+, but I forget which ones.
We went through that drama
like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, we did.
I'm just going to say you can play it on there. How you get there is between you and your God. You know, I don't know. I can't have all the answers.
Between you and your God.
But I'm going all the way in on Yakuza Like a Dragon this week. I've been playing every day for at least 4 hours a day on stream. Wow. Monday through Friday. I'm towards the end of the week, and I still have a lot of the game left because the game is super long. But I'm having a really good time, and now, especially that I'm having like a good run with a meaty game like this, like I feel like I'm about to convert into one of those people who's like, have I told you about our Lord and Savior who's like a dragon? You should play it. I liked it before, but now that I'm like really just all in, like it's got the golfing, it's got the arcade stuff, it has a kart racer, you can summon a like lobster that you save after like doing, and I think, granted, I don't play a lot of RPGs, so this might not be, you know, as revolutionary as it feels for me experiencing it now, but I just love getting to know all of like the side quest stories and how they like slowly piece together in the most random ways. Like I just finished one where the quest was to get some nails and some wood, and I think it's all the materials for this one homeless dude who wants to make like a bookshelf for a kid, like a neighborhood kid that he's cool with. And it's, I'm like 30 hours into the game, and when I stumbled across like the nails, I was like, y'all, the nails are here, we're gonna do it. And then I was just so invested in it, and that was just super fun. Again, I know if you've been playing a lot of games of that genre, you are probably well familiarized with the satisfaction of a long through line paying off, but I just feel like Yakuza Like a Dragon is so approachable, like as someone that doesn't do many RPG things, because it's just way too taxing for me, other than like maybe Pokemon, like two other ones. It is just so charming and approachable and memorable. Even for me, where I zone out and space out on stuff, I think they just do a good job summing up key things, having like the main character sort of remind himself with like an internal monologue on what's going on. The fact that there's like all these dialogue charts that you can go into, like if you want to, like there's so much stuff going on, and it's also just some fun turn-based combat. I do think it's a little bit of a slow ramp up for the turn-based stuff being satisfying, but after a few hours, when it really starts to develop, it's like, oh, okay, this is like very solid turn-based gameplay with an extremely charming story, and where everything in this world is fun to do, except for the business management. Fuck the business management. I really hope I don't have to do the business management. I don't understand it. I've run my business into the ground. And I'm walking away. People keep applying. I keep meeting NPCs where they're like, they just submitted their application. Don't apply. We're not hiring. This business is not, Ichiban Confections is not getting off the ground. Okay. But yeah, I'm having a great time with it. I'm 35 hours in. Chapter 9 of,
hours,
I think, 14.
Yeah. Damn, you maybe want to pick it up or pick it back up. Because like I played it during the launch, Xbox Series X launch period. I probably played 7 to 8 hours and I hit a hard wall of like, I just kept getting my ass beat. But I was having such a good time with it, the way that like I usually do with Yakuza/Judgment games. I always make it to that 7 hour mark and then something distracts me and I don't come back. But I do think that it's such a unique flavor of RPG, in the way that I think, because of its setting, because it takes place just in modern excuse me, in modern day, it is relatable in a way that I think helps for somebody who might not be as into RPGs to actually be engaged with the story and the characters and all that stuff. Like, I think for me, that's why I enjoy RPGs like Deus Ex or Cyberpunk or stuff that takes place in a version of the world that is at least, you know, that is similar to our world in some respects, right? Persona, stuff like that. I think RPGs in those kind of worlds are really fun. And I think Yakuza has such a fun style, fun goofy style to it that appeals to me. And so, yeah, I really want to pick it back up now, like after hearing you spiel about it for a little bit.
Yeah, you should.
I'm gonna do it. I'm pressing download. It's on my Xbox, okay, though, because I'm also a sinner.
Yeah, come on it. The water's fine, you know? Come on
we
through.
We got Game Pass, we got PlayStation. You don't need to wait anymore. You don't need to wait.
Yeah, but my saves are on Xbox. I don't want to start from scratch. Yeah. You know what? I can just probably play on xCloud. I imagine it might be on Xbox Game Pass. I can play it on my Steam Deck in that case.
Yakuza Like a Dragon. Yakuza Like a Dragon is on Game Pass that's time playing it.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay, perfect. I'll join you in the pursuit.
Hell yeah.
You're monsters. You're both monsters. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for watching this episode of PS I Love You XOXO. Remember, we're your PlayStation podcast. We come to you each and every Friday morning on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. Of course, if you wanted to get it early, you could go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you could get the show ad-free. You could watch us live as we record it, like Royal Martin, Omega Buster, and Cameron Kennedy all are. And of course, you could get 38 episodes a month of bonus content we only do over there. That's all on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames or patreon.com/kindoffunny. We combine them so you can go to one and get all of it. No big deal. It's all there for you. Ad-free viewing on every podcast, live viewing on every podcast. You get to have a good time. You can be a Patreon producer. You know the rigmarole. Now, important housekeeping for you. There will be no PS I Love You XOXO next week. Why? Because it's finally happening. On October 14th, we are moving into the spare bedroom, Kind of Funny Studios 3.0 or whatever the hell you want to call it. The brand new studio is up and running. Janet is coming up from LA. She will be hanging out with us for a marathon stream to end all marathon streams, 10 a.m. Pacific on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. And of course, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Come see our new home. Come see some of the new announcements. Come see why we want you to subscribe to Patreon to fund the thermometer to get whatever crazy show it is. And come watch me be crowned King of Halloween. I'm just putting that out there into the ether. It's going to happen. But good news, Janet, you can be Vice King, and Blessing, you can sit outside.
Well, Janet's Lord of Holidays, so she actually is above you, remember.
Yeah.
I don't mind reporting to Janet. If I'm King of Halloween, she's Lord of Holidays, I'm totally fine with that. And Blessing, of course, King of Valentine's Day.
There is already a
nobody loves love more than him.
You do know that seat is filled already.
No, well, I mean, Spirit Halloween declared me King of Halloween, remember. Cisco will be there too. Everything's happening next week, Friday the 14th, which means we won't be doing shows next week outside of Monday and then Patreon vlogs that I do each and every day. So come on Friday, and then we'll see you in 2 weeks for another episode of PS I Love You XOXO from the new studio.
Until what if the PlayStation time. Showcase happened next week? Oh, wouldn't that be the worst thing? I don't want to put that out there.
Why would you put that out of the universe?
But like, what wouldn't that be? Wouldn't that be the worst thing that could happen?
Jim Ryan, you son of a bitch! If you're fucking listening and you pulled this shit,
Tim just had like a heart attack somewhere out there in the ether.
I'm sorry, Tim.
You put that out in the universe.
I'm sorry.
Don't do that. Stop. But
what if it happened? What if it happened during?
Ladies and gentlemen,
stream?
Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.